Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. The Savage Nation Hollywood Idiot of the Day.
I would love to think that by me showing up, maybe more people will pay attention and realize this is serious and it's got to be attended to.
I know there's been a lot of edginess in your role. You've pushed the envelope, and some nurses are not comfortable with it, the role that you now portray, Nurse Jackie. But in what you've had to learn about healthcare as you prepared for this role, what larger expanded role can nurses play within the medical system?
Well, the attention to the paperwork is a huge thing. Even in our our show, the amount of time we spent, you know, as an aside piece of work for a nurse to be doing is filling out papers was shocking to me. That you think back in the day when they got into nursing, it wasn't so that they could learn how to fill these forms out. It really is just about healing people, knowing what's wrong and attending to it. A lot of it emotional and kindness and
Let's pause right here. What you're listening to is probably the newest low in the media to date. There's an actress who has played a gangster wife for years named Edie Falco. I talked about her the other day. In the worst portrayal of nurses that could ever be imagined, she is now being used as an activist and a lobbyist to push socialized medicine for the cynical Obama team. But to make it worse, Edie Falco, who is not a nurse, Edie Falco, who so far as we know never graduated college, Edie Falco, who definitely never went to nursing school, Edie Falco goes on a show with a fake journalist named Andrea Mitchell. And the fake journalist named Andrea Mitchell talks to the fake nurse called Edie Falco about the importance of socialized medicine. Now, if you think that actors and actresses are shallow, you're right. We all know that. That's, you know, dog bites man. Nothing unusual about that. You've heard it 1,000 times. But if you want an example, almost out of a Ripley's Believe It or Not, of how shallow they actually are, listen to clip one.
Anywhere I am asked to speak about this, I am participating. It occurred to me back during President Obama's campaign that to speak passionately about something you care about seems to actually have some relevance. It's a whole new concept to me. So I am here to
Hold
speak
it.
On behalf of...
It's a
of,
whole new concept to you to speak passionately about something you care about? You've just discovered that at your age? And so now you're being used as a stooge by the Marxist administration to push socialized medicine that will further bankrupt America? Look, there's no point in you not understanding what I'm saying to you. You better understand what I'm saying to you. The media has never been this low. When they're going to go into the level, go down to the level of using a fake nurse to push a fake healthcare reform plan as proposed by a fake president, as interviewed by a fake journalist, that I'm telling you, the network called MSNBC can't get any lower. Play the next piece of music. You're listening to The Savage Nation.
Like a fool on the hill, sees the sun going down.
It's another example of a Hollywood idiot who wants to be taken seriously, lending her name to a cause so people won't think that she's actually a hollow, vacuous shell instead of an actually intelligent human being. You know, but maybe the most insane thing that come out of this interview, which, by the way, took place in the Capitol Rotunda, was a question from Andrea Mitchell, a fake journalist, asking the fake nurse, Edie Falco, if playing a nurse in a new role as a sex maniac junkie nurse had taught her anything about healthcare. I swear to God, I'm not making any of this up. And if you care to comment on this, call the wall banger, because this is made for the wall banger. I don't listen to the wall banger, but on the way to work today, I actually tuned in the wall banger. I couldn't believe what I was listening to.
Ooh, I went to a party with elites, and those elites are snotty. Ooh, those elites, they're snotty people. But I went to the party just to prove that they're that those elites, they're snotty. Ooh. Well, my next best seller will be hanging out with snotty elites because I want to. By Wallbanger.
Michael Jackson is dead. Oh, my. My. That's big news. Terrible news. Oh, North Korea vows nuclear attack if provoked by the USA because of the weakness of Obama. That's not in your local newspaper. Instead, they're pushing a global warming bill when the most intelligent scientists of our generation says that we're actually entering a period of global cooling. But that won't stop the fools on the Hill from pushing through a global warming bill, which will amount to the largest tax in American history and cripple the economy just when we're trying to get it back on its feet. We're also going to talk about the hit job on Governor Sanford. Yes, he committed adultery by his own admission. But you have to ask yourself a few questions. How did his local newspaper get his private emails, number one? Number two, they say they've known about this since December, but they've held releasing this information until now. So you have to ask yourself, why did the press just now get around to exposing the scandal of Governor Sanford? The answer? Distraction. You see, Obama's numbers are falling. He can't get his Obamacare socialized medicine package passed through Congress because America has finally awakened to who he actually is. So now is the time for a diversion while his group regroups. Moreover, there's an additional purpose. In addition to distracting the public from Obama's failures with North Korea, with Iran, the fact is Obama's team is taking out potential rivals one after another. Just last week, the media jumped on the story of Senator Ensign of Nevada and his infidelity. He was considered to be a possible Republican candidate for president in 2012. Now Mark Sanford, who had similar ambitions, caught in a similar situation. This is politics at its worst, brought to us by the worst administration, the meanest administration, the most closed administration, the most competent administration in American history. If you care to talk about any of these topics, 1-800-449-8255. Since I'm getting no calls right now, I assume that the show is not being broadcast, and I will take a break. Savage.
I developed a relationship with a, which started as a dear, dear friend from Argentina.
It's pathetic to listen to this guy. He never should have given a press conference, number one. He certainly was not qualified for the presidency any more than Obama is. Let's put it to you that way. You know, what you get with politicians is what you get with politicians. But let's ask ourselves another question. He admits he had an affair with a woman from Argentina. How did the local newspaper steal his personal emails to his lover? The vermin in the newspaper, managing editor Steve Brook, vermin in chief, says that it had the governor's email message since December. But vermin in chief Steve Brook, managing editor of the local newspaper, declined to say why it chose not to publish the emails earlier. Later, a reporter for the Verminous newspaper named John O'Connor, second in command at Vermin Incorporated, said that the newspaper was sent the messages from the governor's personal email account by an anonymous person. So these two Verminous individuals, the editor of the local paper, Steve Brook, and sub-Vermin, John O'Connor, steal an email from the governor to a lover, personal email about his personal life. They hold it until they need to release it, when they're told to release it by Rahm Emanuel, probably, in the White House, in order to get Obama off the headlines. And that's how the country's being run today. You want to talk about that? You know where to call. You want to talk about the moron Edie Falco? I couldn't believe this. I had to play this for you. I have a sixth sense for the media, which is why I've succeeded. I'm pretty sure that in all walks of life, and I've known this for a while, I have to tell it to you again. I mean, whether it's a ball player who can leap higher than an average man, an extreme fighter who can take punishment and make moves that you can't believe a person can do, or a talk show host who can somehow look around corners and talk about a topic before anyone else does. I just mentioned Edie Falco the other day, didn't I? Didn't I review that show, Nurse Jackie, the other day for out of the blue, saying it was the worst show I've ever seen in my life? Worst acting, worst directing, worst writing, worst portrayal of nurses, an absolute disgrace, and it's a career killer for Edie Falco. Didn't I say that? And the very next day, this know-nothing actress is interviewed by a know-nothing mouthpiece for MSNBC, which is a mouthpiece. It is a mouthpiece for Obama. A mouthpiece for Obama, MSNBC, by perhaps the most shallow individual in the history of broadcast news, Andrea Mitchell, whose husband bankrupted America. And I can't believe clip two. You have to play this again. Play it again.
It seems in a time such as this, in a country such as this, with the resources, the intelligence, the finances, that there are still people who can't afford to take care of themselves is sort of preposterous.
No. Well, clip one is the one I want to hear. Play one.
I am asked to speak about this. I am participating. It occurred to me back during President Obama's campaign that to speak passionately about something you care about seems to actually have some relevance. It's a whole new concept to me.
It's a whole new concept to an actress who plays a passionate character to speak passionately about something you care about. Suddenly she's discovered relevance. This is an example of why the country's dead, why it's dead in the water. That's all. Who would use this person to lobby for socialized medicine unless they themselves were facile fools? Indiana Lloyd, you're up. Go ahead, please.
The TV show East Wing adds extreme honesty to your point. There was the lady, I forget her name, the actress, who nearly destroyed the American apple industry. And, of course, Obama's mama.
Wait. You mean she went out and talked about, what, Alar poisoning children?
Remember who it was, and I don't want to say a name because I truly can't remember.
But was the chemical Alar during the Alar scandal?
She's a major actress.
Did she come out and say Alar in apples can kill you? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I can remember things like that. Do you think Wallbanger would know what Alar is?
I believe it was MSNBC or CNN that referred to some of the actors from the East Wing that now...
I see. All right, so they're always referring to the Oprah Winfrey crowd. In other words, the people who like Michael Jackson are the people who would listen to MSNBC. All right, I got it. Thanks for the call. I don't know if I can take it tonight. I don't know. At the end of the book, I'm tired already. It's the summer. I should go somewhere. There's nowhere to go. All I do is talk about the news anyway. No one wants to listen to it. The dog is bored of it. People in the family have had enough of news. They don't want to hear it. All they want to do is meatballs and tomato sauce. That's all anyone wants to talk about. So we could do the nostalgia. I was going to do that. You know, there's another topic I was going to talk about today, actually. I was trying to open a package. I couldn't get it open. I almost cut my hand open. I bought a set of, like, cheap, like, wrenches, tools that come in a plastic package. I've never seen it. Because of the rats with law degrees, the product liability lawyers who have never created a product in their lives, who I only pray one day they get rewarded in the next world for what they've done to businesses. You can't open packages anymore. You can slice your hand open trying to open a package of crackers. You can kill yourself trying to open a package of wrenches. Have you tried it recently? You have to get a scissor and cut through it when you need a wrench. Then you got to cut through a binding with a metal thing around each wrench in case it slips inside and kills a child. All because of the lawyers. I was going to talk about package horror stories because I heard that children's toys and children's goods are also impossible. I was going to ask you for, like, the worst packaging that has ever been made. But, that's not a real topic unless you want to talk about it. I'm so frustrated by it. You can't open anything anymore. Paul in Oregon. Shannon, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Go ahead, please. I never answer the question for two reasons. One, because I don't know you. B, you don't know me. And C, I'm not going to tell you. So what's on your mind?
Well, you know, my husband started listening to your radio station, and I started listening. You know, I'm a conservative kind of gal, and I'm an educated gal now. And my question is what do we do with all these dumb people? I lost my job, and I started teaching at a local community college, And these young people don't even know how to do basic math.
Remember, they know, but they do know certain things. They know that there's global warming, right? They know that Obama is the savior of the Western world, the world itself. They learned how to put a condom on a cucumber, and they learned that marijuana is good for their health. So don't say they're uneducated, Shannon.
Well, they're not educated in the sense that, I mean, I'm not that old. I mean, I'm just in my mid-30s, and the education I got in high school wasn't anything what they got. I mean, it's like you're saying.
But Shannon, you don't understand the priorities shifted between the time you went to school and this generation. This generation was raised to understand the most important things in the world are global warming, sex, and pointy shoes.
I guess so.
You see? So they're a product of the society that they're living in.
Well,
so don't take it to heart. They're wonderful people. They know the most important things they know. That's all. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. You don't care about Nurse Jackie, huh? You don't care that idiot playing Nurse Jackie is now promoting socialized medicine and trying to be sincere about it. They say, why am I going on about it? Because it's an example, a further example of the level, the facile level that the Obama administration will reach down to try to push a failed policy such as socialized medicine. Los Angeles, KGIL. Tom, welcome to the program.
Tom, yes, thank you. This whole thing with the scandal about the guy, cheating on his wife, for some reason, I don't know, earlier you used a good word, sixth sense. There's something about it just isn't right. Personally, I feel like, the guy, first he says he's going to the Appalachian Trail. Second, he says he's going down to take a drive down a road in Argentina. Then he comes out, two lies already. Then he comes out with the big one now. Oh, my God, I had a relationship with a woman. Personally.
All right, well, let's assume that he's telling the truth and he had an affair. The big question is, how did the vermin in the newspaper get his personal email to his lover? How did they get that? Who gave it to them?
Well, if the whole thing is somewhat of a...
Did the Department of Homeland Security hack his emails and send them to the Obama administration? How's that for a question? How's that for a question?
Savage.
I do believe it's a great moment in history here. We can transform our economy. It could help with us with foreign policy. Iran has so much...
You're listening to the far-left radical know-nothing Barbara Boxer, the senator from Brooklyn, who is boasting that she and the other leftists in the Obama administration can transform the economy. What does she mean by transform the economy? Into a Marxist state? She wants a state-run economy like in the ex-Soviet Union? What is she talking about? Yes, that's what she's talking about. Now, if she were a lifetime communist and she really believed that, it would be one thing. Her husband's a lawyer who makes his living by suing people who actually produce things. Her son is a lawyer who has lobbied to convert open space in Marin County to other uses. So she's a 14-carat phony, this one. They're all the same, these leftists. They speak out of both sides of their mouth. Here's a test for you. Whoever gets this right, the first caller only and wins a free copy of Psychological Nudity, because I want you to... Who can name the ship that saved the passengers, the survivors of the Titanic, after the Titanic hit an iceberg and sank on April 15th, 1912? Quickly, 60 seconds or less, name the ship that steamed over 58 miles to save the passengers who survived the sinking of the Titanic. 1-800-449-8255. You've got 60 seconds to answer that question. Okay? New York City, WOR, Joe, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, good to talk to you again. Quick comment and then a question. How is it that this nation is so dumbed down by, for example, Edie Falco talking up Obama's plan today? It is mind-boggling. That 90%.
No, but listen to what. Wait, here's the best part. If she played Florence Nightingale, if she played a noble nurse, you would say, okay, she's an actress playing Marie Curie on a TV series, right? so I could understand it. But she plays a married woman who has sex with a pharmacist to get illicit drugs in a hospital. She's a drug addict and a sex maniac. And that's what they use as a role model to sell Obama's socialized medicine?
You know what's next? Barack Obama's going to do the moonwalk now that the King of Pop just passed away.
Oh, God. If they take the King of Pop and give him a rotunda job in the Capitol, I'm leaving the country. I'm telling you right now, if they give him a rotunda job in the nation's capital, I'm out of here. I'm going to move. I don't care where. Don't say New Zealand. I'm not moving to New Zealand. I don't know where I'm going to move. Maybe I'll buy an island and create a country. You know, King Sam. Do you realize how lucky you are that I am an honest man? Do you have any idea how honest I really am? I know you shouldn't say it if you are. Usually liars say that. But you're so lucky I'm an honest man, because if I really were devious and I really wanted power and I really wanted your money, I could buy an island and sell shares in it and make a lot of money, and I won't do it. I could do that. I mean, I could make a whole world, because many of you are desperate to get anywhere out of here. I could tap into that. Maybe Wallbanger could do it. I don't know, because he has experience with drywall. He could have a golf course so that he can invite his friend into golf, and they could sell corned beef and cabbage as a special. I'm sorry. Did someone win? No one. What an audience. I'm giving away a free book here. Name the ship that steamed over to save the survivors of the sinking of the Titanic. If they don't have the right, Amber's wrong on line 9. Hang up on her. You got to put the name of the ship they put up for me to even waste the call. Amazing. By the way, I saw the 1958 version of the Titanic sinking. It was much better than the one with the Sound of Music in it with Leon DiCaprio. That wasn't a bad production, but the first one in black and white was actually more gripping. You know, you got into the characters more. Stereotypes, yes, but touching. The music, the musicians, as the ship's going down, playing on the end of the... Oh, my God. I said to Mrs. Savage, that's America right now. I know it's not necessarily a novel idea, but I wonder if many of you understand that we're all racing to the back of the nation that we are on, called America. Now that we have this Marxist captain steering it so far to the left that it's liable to not hit an iceberg, but it's liable to never find its way back again to the open seas. He has now said he's extending a hand of friendship and reestablishing relations with Hugo Chavez, if you can believe this. It's hard to believe a Venezuela walks like a Marxist if it talks like a Marxist. But you don't want to believe me. I got a winner. Steve and San Fran Sicko, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael.
Go ahead. No, hold it. Now, here's the question. Can you, and get ready for the rim shot or something, because I think he's right. Please name the ship that rescued the survivors of the Titanic after she hit an iceberg and sank on 15th of April, 1912. Go ahead.
The Carpathia.
Go ahead. Hit it. You win. You win a free copy of Psychological Nudity. How'd you get the answer? You knew it or you looked it up?
Awesome. No, just some trivia I had in my head.
No, but come on, you must be a ship lover if you knew that.
Well, I'm kind of a student of the Titanic catastrophe.
All right, so now we're going to go for broke. We're going to play Slumdog Millionaire. Would you like to go for two books?
I'll give it a try. I don't know Slumdog Millionaire.
Okay, but if you don't get the next one right, you don't even get the first book. It's got to be. It's like Slumdog Millionaire. Are you ready to play, or do you want to keep the one book?
I'll keep the one book.
All right, you win a free copy of Psychological Nudity. Send it to Steve. The next question's a tougher one. But you can look those up. What was the fate of the Carpathia? No, but you can look this up. So no more questions. She was sunk by the Germans in World War One, torpedoed while she was being in a convoy. Sank years later. Terrible. But what a noble thing, the captain. Arthur Henry Rostron, you don't even know him. He got an award for saving, you know how many people? Like 700 people. He raced there. 58 miles away. And the captain was such a great captain, he ordered the ship's heating and hot water to be cut off in order to make as much steam as possible available for the engines so they could run at full speed. 4 in the morning, the ship arrives at the scene after weaving its way through dangerous ice fields, and the Carpathia saved 705 people from the Titanic. Amazing. Then the Carpathia was part of a convoy torpedoed July 1918 off the east coast of Ireland by the German submarine U-55. Lists to port, sinks bow first. 157 passengers and the surviving crew rescued by HMS Snowdrop the following day. Why don't they name ships like that anymore? HMS Snowdrop. Now they name the McCain. The McCain, the destroyer, the cruiser McCain, whose job is to hail and query. I wonder if they could even rescue anybody today, the U.S. Navy, or they'd have to call the admiral to ask if it's possible. They may have to find out how many people of different races are in the water and of which sexual or composition they are in order to decide how many people to save. I'm just talking. I'm venting. I'm letting it out of my system. It's my business. Why, you don't want to do this? You wouldn't like to do this? You don't wish you had the ability to let it out of your system without going insane from what's going on in this world? Now I'm starting to believe they're right. I don't know what I would do if I couldn't get it out of my system. I just received a wonderful book from my good friend Professor Ellis Washington that I highly recommend, called The Nuremberg Trials, Last Tragedy of the Holocaust. It was not reviewed because he's not a liberal. Although he is an African-American, and although he is a professor, he made the unfortunate mistake of not becoming a liberal African-American professor. And so therefore he's been cast into the netherworld. And he published this book, A Labor of Love, The Nuremberg Trials by Ellis Washington, The Last Tragedy of the Holocaust. Isn't it amazing? And the reason that I'm mentioning it is because I have something to announce on the show right now. If you read michaelsavage.com, which many of you do, I have 1.2 million listeners, readers, excuse me, a month on the site. It's a pretty good website. I use the picture approach. There are great websites out there. I love many, and I've told you the names of them. Mine is, you know, a small one, so I do different things. But what I try to do is use a picture, because I grew up with newspapers that had pictures that told the whole story in a way. And most of you scan the pictures if you're interested in your reading, right? Or have, most of you who read Michael Savage's website, you see articles pretty regularly now from Ellis Washington. Ellis Washington, Professor Ellis Washington, that is, wrote an article about me calling me the Prometheus. I think it's still up there. I don't know where it is. Is it still up somewhere? Dr. Michael Savage, Prometheus in England. I was so impressed with that article. Sure, yeah, it's about me. Yes, it's complimentary. But the writing was so well done that I decided to read other articles he had written. And back in April of 2009, he wrote Honor Thy Father and Thy Mother. And he was quoting Michael Savage and analyzing Obama's childhood issues. And he quotes me where I said, excessive separation in the absence of a father and mother has led to a pattern of idealized control that Obama has not only imposed on himself, but now wants to impose on the United States of America. Then I asked, what exactly is Obama's problem with women? And I described it in 1961. Obama's mother, Ann Dunham, married Obama's father, a man from Kenya. And less than 3 years later, they were divorced in 1967. His mother married another man, this time an Indonesian. A few years later, she was divorced again. And I ask, how many were between and after these is unknown. Through all this time, Obama's mother went globetrotting from Hawaii to Kenya to Indonesia to Pakistan. Sometimes she took her young son, sometimes she left him behind. And then I say, I'm sure that Obama loves his mother and his father. But the question that I asked was this. What appears to have happened to Obama as a result is this. He developed symptoms of what psychologists refer to as an Oedipal complex. In an Oedipal complex, a male child is fixated on his mother and competes with his father for maternal attention. In such cases, a critical point of awakening occurs when the child realizes that the mother has affections for others beside himself. In this case, Obama had to compete with multiple paternal stand-ins and was never fully able to bond with his mother. The result seems to have been resentment toward women that he has never been able to get beyond. And there's more about it in the article. Now, I saw that. And I was so impressed with Professor Washington and his writings that I made him an offer that he can't refuse. I've asked Professor Ellis Washington to write my official biography, which he agreed to do. It's going to be a while in coming, I mean like a year. And I'll let you know more about it. But I finally found the right person for this job. It's a very big job because I have so many archives of so many things in so many places, in so many storage bins. I don't think there's another human being has produced as many handwritten sheets of paper that in as short a period. I don't know. It's everywhere. It may be too much. We have to hire a team of researchers. But I want the definitive biography of myself written, and I'm going to have him do it. I'm not doing it. He's doing it. And it'll be out in maybe, I don't know, a year. But before that, in the autumn, I have another book coming called Banned in Britain. I'm working on that and something else. And I've hired an archivist to archive all my audio tapes. I guess I'm getting ready to make a long trip. Remember when I went to... Sorry, I didn't mean to do that. I want to get into that. Where's Grandma? Why is everyone crying? Grandma went on a long trip. When will she be back? Well, we don't know, son, but she's going away for a long time. 1-800-449-825. It's the summertime already, June 24th. Give me a break. Oh, yes. Those of you interested in stopping the tide of Stalinist behavior in America, I have told you that Media Matters is run by very strange individuals who think that this is the ex-Soviet Union and we were going to expose them, and we are. In fact, I am working with some unknown individuals. We are getting the tax returns for Media Matters because they are a nonprofit organization, and we're going to expose not only their names and their pictures, but also how much money they make for being the good Stalinists that they are. Stay tuned. I'll be right back. Savage. You vote for Obama to convert this to the Soviet Union in 6 months or less. When you voted for change, when you voted for hope, did you hope that you would be living in the ex-Soviet Union? I'm not talking to the diehard Democrats who want to live in the ex-Soviet Union, who want death camps, who want re-education camps, who want mass starvation and mass deportation. I'm not talking about you. I am talking about the millions of people in the middle who were so disenamored of George Bush and the phony Republicans, who saw through McCain as just another Bush phony and wanted anything but them, that they went over to the other side. Did you vote for the ex-Soviet Union? Did you vote for a government to take control of the finance industry, the banking industry, crush General Motors, take over the auto industry, take over the housing industry, now take over global warming as though it's real when, in fact, the best minds of our generation say global warming is not only not real, global cooling is real? Did you vote for 30 million illegal aliens to be legalized? Did you vote for socialized medicine when you asked for change and hope? 1-800-449-8255, Albany, New York. Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation. Mike's not there, or he is there? Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it. Oh, God. Any nurses up there? San Francisco. James, welcome to the program. KNEW calls. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Savage Nation, and hello, Dr. Savage.
Yes, sir.
I just heard you talk about a Savage Nation island that I had been thinking about, but I thought the idea was so absurd that, you know, I couldn't tell anybody.
Are you going to sell me Manhattan Island for $22?
I'm sorry, say again, please?
You going to sell me Manhattan Island for $22?
Will you buy it for $22?
What's the island?
Well, I thought you had an island. I thought we could all go in as a nation together and invest in something like this and create an economy.
No, I said that I'm not going to do that, even though I could. Didn't you hear what I said?
Yeah, but we should. This is a good idea. This is an escape route.
I'll leave that to the golfer, because think about it. He could build a golf course on it, and then everyone could golf on the golfer's imaginary island. It would be like, instead of Gilligan's Island, we could call it Wallbanger's Island. We could call it Wallbanger's Island. And they could have a fake radio show on it. I don't know. What do you want from me? 1-800-449. What's on my email here? I read email during the show. I'm going blind from it. Saudi and Libyan leaders, top gift givers to the United States. When U.S. presidents and the diplomats meet some Arab leaders, they come away with more than an earful about foreign policy. They get exquisite baubles, gold, robes, art, blah, blah, blah. A new list of gifts bestowed by foreign leaders on U.S. officials shows lavish treats from the Arab world. Diamond ring, locket, and musical instrument worth more than $212,000 from Libya leader Muammar Gaddafi to former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Diamond ring, locket. She got $200,000 a ring? He gave the gifts a personal touch, including likenesses of his face. Really? Well, wait a minute. What about the gold bracelet that Obama just got on his neck, making him look like a rap musician? How come they didn't list that? They were attacking Condoleezza Rice? The Saudi Medal of Honor Obama received in his presidential visit to the kingdom this month is likely to end up in archival storage. The new State Department report shows Bush's medal in a silver and gold replica of the Saudi... Wait a minute. I didn't ask about Bush. I'm asking about the gold chain put around Obama's neck by the king of Saudi Arabia. Why don't they tell you how much that cost instead of about the diamond ring that Condoleezza... See, this is, again, the reportage that you get from the Associated Pukes. I don't mind learning that she got a $212,000 ring. I don't like it. But if you're going to be fair, why don't you tell me how much the gold necklace is that he put around his neck in Saudi Arabia? Bush got a $972 vicuna scarf from Peru. And a $5,195 Bang & Olufsen sound system from Denmark. So what? So that's a big deal for a man around the world? I want to know, what about the gold necklace that Obama got? How much is that worth? How come they don't mention that? 10 Fuente Opus 10 cigars from Panama. What's the big deal about a cigar? A representative of the Holy See gave the U.S. ambassador to Switzerland $2,700 in Swiss francs. $2,700 in Swiss francs in November? Why would the Pope's minions give away? What are they giving him cash for? What do they want him to buy with it? I can't understand that one. A representative of the Holy See gave the U.S. ambassador to Switzerland $2,700 in Swiss francs in November. Why? Here's a little cash on the side, sweetie. Have a little fun when you get back to New York. I don't really want it. Now take it. Come on, buy yourself something in Bloomingdale's. You were such a sweetie here. When you get back, buy yourself something nice. Go to Bloomingdale's. Buy a nice shirt.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Discussing things from the serious to the sublime here on the Savage Nation. It's summertime and the living is easy. You know, Michael Jackson died. I don't think he died amongst his favorite farm animals, but he died at age 50. Rest in peace. I never liked this performance. Big deal. And that means nothing to me. We have photos of Governor Sanford's lover, we think, on michaelsavage.com. We just found them. Not bad looking 43-year-old. Nice head of hair on her. So I think I'm going to copy Moloch's technique. I realized my problem is I'm too serious. Moloch is very clever. Moloch uses short skirts and lipstick, and surrounding it, he puts guys who eat corned beef and cabbage, and apparently it works for him. Now, I don't eat corned beef and cabbage particularly. I'm not from that variety of eaters, nor from that island. But I think it's a good idea. So I think I'm going to start getting more tabloid on the Savage Nation, since you don't care about Obama and the Stalinization of America. I will now become a tabloid radio show, occasionally throwing in something about the flag and soldiers, the way Wallbanger does, to make believe that he's patriotic, and then sell you a pair of slippers or sandals to go with it, that if you really are patriotic, you'll buy the special Wallbanger sandals. And if you're a super patriot, you'll buy corned beef floor mats for Father's Day. Houston, Texas, Nick, welcome to the Savage Nation.
I agree with you, Michael. I don't think you should be educating us on the world events.
No.
What's going on in North Korea or Iran?
No. Leave it to Obama. He knows how to handle Iran and North Korea. He's firmly in control.
John and Kate plus eight. That's what I want to know about, Michael.
Yes, I'll have to catch up on John and Kate. See, I figure if Obama can reach down to a Hollywood idiot like Edie Soprano to lobby for health care reform, I mean, why should I bother talking about anything serious if the people are that stupid that they'd even listen to her? Thanks for the call. Maria Belen Shapur, Mark Sanford lover named, from News Bazaar. It's up on michaelsavage.com. Exclusive pictures from them of Mark Sanford mistress. Named as Maria Belen Shapur of blah, blah, blah. Allegedly, she's the 43-year-old mistress of the governor. Nice-looking woman. I mean, you know, it makes you, how do you know what turns a person on? Mother of two teenage sons, 43-year-old Maria Shapur speaks several languages. Well, there you go. Yeah. Highly educated and works for a major agricultural business firm in Buenos Aires, Bunge and Barn. Mark Sanford and Maria, a pop-up just covered it up. Don, you got these. Began dating online 8 years ago. Their relationship became romantic in 2008, it is believed. The scandal and love affair between Maria and Mark began when the governor of South Carolina appeared to have gone missing. Under enormous pressure, Mark Sanford returned to the U.S. from Argentina after his office initially said he was hiking. This is so waspy. I'm hiking in Appalachia. I'm hiking in Appalachia. I'm stopping down in Argentina. Maria Shapur lives at this upscale apartment complex across the road from the zoo in Buenos Aires. I want to know how the newspaper run by the vermin managed to steal the governor's romantic emails. And I'm willing to say to you that I suspect that someone in this U.S. government using NSA tapping capacity or Homeland Security tapping capacity hacked into the governor's emails, gave this to the local newspaper. We're living in the ex-Soviet Union. That's all. It could be a Facebook picture of a woman who runs a delicatessen in Buenos Aires. What do I know? You know, what do I care what he had an affair with? It's between him and his wife. It didn't affect Clinton. He kept his job, didn't he? Clinton kept his job. 1-800-449-8255. How about nurse Edie Falco? She's a nurse now. Where'd she go to SUNY Purchase, but she didn't graduate? Now she's an expert on health care. You got to listen to these tapes. You can't believe this. She goes on the phony journalist Andrea Mitchell show on MSNBC, and this phony nurse talks about health care reform like she knows something about health care because she plays a degenerate junkie nurse on television. I said to you, I understand using ball players and actors to push programs. I understand that. But that's in the age when a ball player was a role model, not a degenerate junkie runaround. Who looks up to a ball player anymore but a fool? You know what I'm saying? The same thing with an actor and actress. If they were portraying, let's say, a truly noble figure from history, Marie Curie, right? Florence Nightingale. Say, all right, well, she plays Florence Nightingale, so they... Dumb people out there will think she's a good person and she's for what Obama wants. All right, use her. But she plays a drug-addicted nurse who gives away sex to the pharmacist in the hospital to get drugs. And this is who Axelrod of the Obama team chooses to run with the socialized medicine plan? Well, I suppose Axelrod knows what he's doing in that it's the very same people he was able to bamboozle into voting for Obama, the Oprah crowd, the daytime television watchers. He got them out in mass with the Acorn people with clubs and sticks, keep anyone away from asking him where they're from. And then when you get illegal aliens to vote 10 times each, why, there it is. There's America. Play some Hawaiian music for me right now for the next caller. I have a different call in mind. Any Hawaiian, come on, man. You could go faster than that. Just hit Hawaiian music on the H. That's all. You don't have to, like, look up slacky guitar. Moses Ramada Damada 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 Zulu. I have some excellent, real high-quality slacky guitar music. Rip your heart out. This is nice. This is Don Ho. Who is this? Don Ho. Don Ho Ho Ho. In the years I lived there, never went to see Don Ho. That's like going to the Statue of Liberty when you live in New York. I lived in New York my entire youth. I never went to the Statue of Liberty. I liked it. I liked that it was there. But I never... Who would go there but a tourist? It's like every city has a place that the locals don't go to, that the tourists go to. In San Francisco, that would be fill in the blank. The whole city is a tourist attraction that locals don't go to. They live in Marin County or the East Bay. It's mainly people from out of town who live in San Francisco, I swear to God. All of Pacific Heights is filled with people who whose ancestors came over and were just basically Goldfield. You know what I'm saying? In 49, the miners came. Send me that again. 49, the miners came, and 51, the whores. How does that go? I love that one by Mark Twain. Tiny bubble. WTNT, Washington, D.C. Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Oh, I'm a huge fan. I'm so happy I got to talk to you. I love your show so much. I listen every night. Michael, they just announced on the local news here there's a luau going on in the White House.
Hey, what's he serving, pulled pork and poi?
Listen to this, Michael. Unbelievable. 130 pounds of salmon, 84 pounds of macadamia nuts flown in from Hawaii, 650 pounds of pork butt.
Who eats pork butt?
I don't know. It's bad for your health, I thought,
that's
right?
Really upgrading. That's really bringing the White House up to a high level, isn't it? Remember they joked about Bush degenerating the White House from the elegant days of the Clintons, that the Bushes were simple people and they only had barbecues and they made a mockery of it, remember? So now that Obama is serving pork butt, what are they going to say, that's elegant?
Maybe he's trying to prove his birth certificate case, but I'm still doubtful.
Well, let's look at it this way. He's not serving couscous and hummus. I mean, you got to look at the positive, right?
Yeah. Hey, Michael, I love your show.
I mean, he's not serving pita bread, so that's an improvement. I mean, at least it's the 50th state.
Michael,
it's the official cuisine of Tubby Boy in the 50th state. What? What's on your mind?
Michael, keep up the fight. You're the very, very best in radio.
All right, I appreciate it. I'm good. I'm good at what I do. That's all. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good. The miner came in 49, the whore in 51. They rolled upon the barroom floor, then came the native son. I did not write that. Mark Twain did. That's how much he loved San Francisco, that he dedicated the poem to the phonies on Pacific Heights. He got so mad at the frauds living in this city, in Nancy Pelosi's neighborhood, the Gettys and the others. They weren't around, but he saw what was coming. He was another smart guy from the East, came out here and took one look and went back home. The miner came in 49, the whore in 51. They rolled upon the barroom floor, then came the native son. Mark Twain. I'll be right back. Savage. Thursday, every day rock and roll Thursday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Friday. Oh, what a great song this was to dance to, remember? Anyone remember? Raise your hands. Half of you in walkers with kind of transfusion trees now. you gotta laugh at it all, don't you? For years, I've had a fantasy of doing an old rock and roll show. I don't know if we have enough room for the walkers and people liable to crash into each other with the chairs, the rolling chairs. Hey, Mike, I remember when I used to dance to this, to Maria, Anna Maria. She comes rushing over, the bottle breaks, it's all over. What are you going to do, die over it? Yes. What do you want to do? It's summertime, I have a slower schedule. I have a slower schedule. Here's a story that's bound to get you insane, if you're not already crazed from what's going on in the country. Remember the flight over U.S. Airways, Flight 1549, at the hero pilot landed in the river and saved everybody? Remember? Now they're suing. Tess Sosa goes on CNN, and she said she can't forget the flight, and that she and her daughter need therapy, and they have to pay out of their own pockets because U.S. Airways won't pay for their therapy sessions. And that's reported by Wolf Blitzer. You hear this? Their private insurance has a $3,000 deductible, so the family still needs help dealing with the trauma. What trauma? You were saved, you schmuck! What in the world has gone on in this country? The woman is saved, and she's suing the airlines because they don't give her therapy, her and her daughter. She goes on the show, and she says, I expect my family to be taken care of in the very best way possible. And I don't feel like that's happening when you're balking at my claims to a therapist, and you're setting limits on that, said the very grateful survivor of 1549. What a world. What a world. A man ditches the plane in the Hudson after the birds flew into the plane, and everyone is saved. And this wonderful prize of a human being goes crying on television that she needs therapy for her trauma. New York City, WOR, Ann, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hi. Gotta thank you. Bring some levity into my life, because with what's going on in this country is really beyond belief. And I turn you on, and every so often you come up with these smart remarks, and that saves my day. By the way, my favorite day is Monday with Fats Domino.
Each day is a little different. Monday is Fats Domino Blue Monday. Friday already is Rock and Roll Friday. Wednesday I'm ready for the Gas Chamber. What was said today that you liked?
Tommy Lampshade. Anyhow, a couple.
What did I say today that was particularly smart and clever and made you happy?
Oh, about the, I don't want to say, about Appalachian, he was taking a hike on the Appalachians and he was down there getting stooped.
I was saying that's such a waspy excuse. He was hiking in the Appalachia, that one?
You're my time. Anyhow.
Well, would any ethnic man who got caught, let's say, running around, say he was hiking on the Appalachian Trail?
I never
heard of anything like this. Who would believe that?
I never believed it, but you're right. They might.
The first second he was disappeared, I knew he was laying there in a motel somewhere in Argentina. I didn't think Argentina. I figured somewhere in East St. Louis. I didn't know where he was. But right away I knew he had to do something with sex. Where was he? What do you think he was? Either he was gambling, and he was doing something else. What could he be doing disappearing a governor?
Who knows? Who knows? Anyhow, listen.
I mean, who knows? It's a man. It's a grown man, right? And he's under a lot of pressure. And he waves the Bible around a lot. So figure it out. What do you think he's doing? Anyone who waves the Bible around a lot and talks a lot about being saved in Yankee Stadium, you know where they're coming from.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, especially from New York. Listen, two nights ago you were talking about Italian food and the,
yep.
Do you like Spanish food?
I do. If you can get good Spanish food in America, but most of it's a little, I'm afraid, Mexican. They don't understand Spanish food here.
No, Cuban. I'm from Cuba.
Yeah, Cuba's another story. I did have excellent Cuban food in Florida.
Yeah.
I eat in a certain place in Florida when I go down there. I go for lunch every day in a Cuban restaurant. And I get the fish, the beans, the rice. Unbelievable the way the Cubans make fish.
What about the picadillo?
What is that?
That's loose chopped meat. It's a Cuban dish.
Loose chopped meat sounds like I'll wind up with something else loose if I eat it. What do you mean loose chopped meat?
Loose chopped meat, picadillo con arroz.
Oh, I like your accent. That's a real McCoy accent.
Yeah.
Were you born in Cuba?
Sí. Havana.
What city? Havana?
La Habana Vieja.
The Cubans speak Spanish differently. What I love about the Spanish language is the different way it's spoken, obviously, in different nations where the conquest occurred. And the Cuban variety is one of my favorite. Is Cuban Castilian Spanish?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
See, it's different. I grew up speaking and writing and reading Castilian Spanish. I had a Mexican guy deliver something for me yesterday. He's from Mexico. Nice guy. And I spoke to him a few words in Spanish. You know, his eyes lit up. What I love about people who work here who are poor, if you speak to them even in a few words in their language, they love it. And he says to me, oh, you speak Spanish? I said, oh, a little pequeño. You know, I said, I studied for 7 years in New York. He was so happy that I spoke to him in Spanish a little bit. It was amazing to me.
And did he ask you where you were born?
No, we just, just passing two guys, He delivered a ship model to me in a crate. And I give him an $8 tip. He was so thrilled. No one tips in California. That's something I learned in San Francisco. All the libs, the stiffs of the world.
Savage. la Villareña, el crucero ya se va.
Orquesta Aragón de Cuba. Más, 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 Dale Savage Show.
Finos y deliciosos.
So this is what he threw his life away for? A hot tamale with a big bushy eyebrow? I told you I was going to get tabloid on the Savage Nation. I beat Murdoch to the punch. And I published the... I had it up on the website. Now the New York Post just put him up. They say she speaks... Wow, English, Portuguese, and Chinese. How'd she learn Chinese? That's a hard language, Chinese. I know like four words in Chinese. That is a tough language. I'm not good at languages. I mean, don't... Terrible in language. Things I'm good for and things I'm not good in. I don't understand it. Some people have a facility for language that's astounding. I remember in my father's little store, I'd met every kind of person imaginable. I told you the stories. I'm not going to go into another one and bore you, but I'll go into another one and won't bore you, okay? One of the guys came in. He was a Jekyll and Hyde doctor. Some days he'd come in dressed to the nines, perfect, like a man out of the upper classes on the Titanic, immaculately dressed. Then a few days later, he'd come in disheveled, dirty, slimy, growth, beard, snot coming out of his nose, where you'd be repulsed by him, and everyone pretended he was the same guy. Hey, how are you, doctor? And I would say, Dad, what? And he'd say, shh. You give me the eye and take me in the back. What do you mean? Why does he look like that? He said, listen, he's an alcoholic. I said, what does that mean? He said, he drinks, and he forgets himself, and he winds up wandering the streets, and he lays in the gutter, and this is how he looks, and then he comes out of it. I said, oh, okay. And over the years, I saw back and forth like this. That was one. Then there was a guy who spoke 16 languages. And, you know, and I don't know how well he spoke them, probably not well, not super literate to the level where he could be a UN translator. But like an ordinary guy, no education, 16 languages. How do you figure that out? I don't get it. In college, in high school, I had trouble with Spanish, the Spanish language. I studied it. I couldn't grasp it. I didn't like it. So I switched when I got to college to French, which I had a facility for. I enjoyed French much more. I think the literature got me. I was able to read French literature. I never was into Spanish literature. There was none of the books in Spanish, you know, Don Quixote. I couldn't get a big deal with the windmills. French literature was so much more beautiful and extensive that, okay, so I liked the language because maybe the sound of it. I didn't like the tilde that much. That's why I can't study Portuguese. There's something about that ni. I can't get into ni. Everything ni. But, I did love Cuban music. That's why I got into it. So we got a picture of her up now. This is what he ran away for? A whole life? A governor could have been running for the presidency? A wife? Beautiful children? Unbelievable to me. Nice-looking woman, but you don't throw your life away like this. Doesn't he know yet that 90 days later he's going to wish to God that he didn't go south of the border here? Number one, let's put aside the morality. Let's just be people together. The guy, is this his first affair? Is this what this is all about? He sounds like a schoolboy if you read the email. You're the most perfect woman in my heart. I've waited all my life. I'm sorry this has happened, but I cannot follow my brain. I must follow my little man, my heart. I mean, my whatever. The little man is speaking, and my heart is speaking, and I must follow him. Stuff that 17-year-olds would write. She lives next to the zoo. That's great. Big bushy eyebrows, and that's it. She does news reportage down in South America. She lives next to the zoo and she jogs. That's it. And he has four beautiful children. Gorgeous wife. Classy wife. Four children. And he has to go south to this. The whole life in the garbage over this. 43-year-old employee of an international agriculture company. Lives in an upscale apartment building. I love the tabloid press. Upscale apartment building. If it's not Slumdog Millionaire living in a latrine, it's an upscale. Everything upscale. Right away, it's upscale. Oh, I'll bet it has two bedrooms and two bathrooms. I'll bet they eat smoked salmon when they're down there. Whoa. Maria Belen Shapur. Oh, boy. Look at the trouble. And he's threatening nuclear war to wipe off, to take away Hawaii, and no one says a word in Hawaii. They don't know about it. Because the local paper, the Honolulu Advertiser and whatever, doesn't even report about North Korea. They could always say Nixon did it. If Kim Jong-il, God forbid, launches a rocket, they could say Nixon did it from the grave. What about aging and how a person is aging? What age do you think people peak at in beauty, like men and women? They used to say that men, you know, last longer than women and all that. That's a tough one to talk about on a radio show, believe me, since I know a big part of my audience are women who love me because I'm the man in the life they never had, or the husband that once was, who's shrunken now into the living room couch, and I'm the imaginary man in their life. But seriously, they say that men, you know, they live, you know, that's why usually it used to be the older guy, the younger woman. That was all about money anyway. It wasn't because the guy was so handsome. He thought he was handsome. I mean, let's be realistic. It's a gold digger job. But truthfully, men somehow, and then the women, they do fall apart. But what is that? Why does nature do that? Because then there's a trick to it. Then the woman outlives the man anyway. He looks good till 50, 55. Then usually he's reduced to a shell of himself with some horrendous disease. And the wife that he, you know, maybe whatever, she's already holding him up by the arm, and he has the pocketbook, and it's in Sizzler. And he can't even digest the steak. She has to chew it for him. At 18, okay, a woman looks good at 18. Then what? How long do they last? A lot of people say, okay, well, a mature woman looks better. I'm not going to argue over that. It's not all about money or about looks. It's what's inside that counts, so they say. Oh, yeah, in our society, it's the inside that counts. Sure. Oh, yeah, it's the inside. Everyone's promoting the inside. That's why Edie Falco, she got such great insights. They have a lobbying for socialized medicine. Here's a woman who plays a drug-addicted sex maniac nurse, and Obama sends her out on the road to talk to that moron, Andrea Mitchell, and she goes on the show. I can't believe this. Listen to clip one again. You have to hear it.
Anywhere I am asked to speak about this, I am participating. It occurred to me back during President Obama's campaign that to speak passionately about something you care about seems to actually have some relevance. It's a whole new concept to me. So
sure it is.
I am here to
sure
speak on behalf of...
Oh, so you're like, oh, it's a whole new concept to you to like get serious. I get it. It's like a convert to a religion. They're the most zealous, okay? So someone who finally gets the idea that to actually believe in something has merit. Oh, look out for them. They often say that the worst mothers, the strictest mothers, are the ex-hookers. I read that years ago. I don't know if it's true. I don't know anyone like that. But ex-hookers, they say, make the worst, the most meanest mothers on earth, the strictest. Do your homework by 5, you know, that, and they don't give you a breath. Because it's like, oh, that's it. Crosses all over the house. I'm not, no, nothing derogatory about it. They're always praying and genuflecting. The same with an actress like Edie Falco in a certain way. All her life, facile, empty head, moron, New Jersey chick, Comac, bad cars, stupid men, whatever. Now she plays mafia wife, does a great job. And suddenly she's enlisted by the Obama campaign to go on Andrea Mitchell's show to talk about health care. And she says, oh, that's really important. It's relevant to... Great to speak passionately because Master Obama told me to speak passionately. Yeah, I guess she's going to go to the luau. She's going to get some of that pork butt. There's no question. She's on the A-list in the Obama campaign. So he's having a – play the luau music now. I want to get into the luau thing. I want to just get into the luau just for a minute. I want to now channel myself into a luau in the White House for a second. Play it already. What's with you guys? Oh, I could just collapse till I hit a button. Sorry, the computer failed, or you had a heart attack? What are you pulling, a Michael Jackson on me there? So they're having a luau in the White House. Really, there's nothing wrong with that. That's really upscale to have a luau in the White House and have pork butt in there. What I loved is that they said that the Bush family downgraded the White House. I turn it off now, they got it. That the Bush people were simple people, the elegant days were over, no more the fancy dinners like, you know, the Romanoffs under the Clintons. Now it was boring, just barbecue and Texans, and they closed the chandeliers off, and they just, that was it, the ribs, and that was it. And it was depressing. So now you have the Obamas in the White House, and what are they doing? A luau with pork butt. And what's going to happen? The gushing media. Oh, the president put on a first-class luau in the White House. It was so elegant and so multicultural. Everybody had a wonderful time. And the menu was so superb. It was better than a French dinner in the Champs-Élysées in the best restaurant because Obama said so. They served luau food, special luau food. They had very special pork butt. It was incredibly elegant and a breath of fresh air from the days of that hick Bush. The hick Bush is gone. The great days are back again. We have pork butt in the White House again. Oh, happy days are here again. That's tomorrow's MSNBC or CNN show. I'm guaranteeing it. They're going to glorify this tomorrow while the North Korean ship chugs along and the U.S. Navy is still hailing and querying. Ahoy! Are you carrying nuclear weapons? Ah, they give them the arm. They throw old kimchi at the U.S. Navy, and they're going back to Washington. They ask them what they can do. Just keep hailing and querying, boys. We'll get to them eventually. And we're very busy right now. We're at the luau. We can't talk. We're outside on the veranda. We're drinking Primo beer because that's what the Obamas like. Yes, very elegant couple. I'll be right back. Savage. Is broke, so he's going to issue IOUs because he won't close the emergency rooms to illegal aliens, which would save $15 billion the first year, minimum $15 billion, by every estimate. Instead of passing I deport yous, he's passing IOUs. You hear Schwarzenegger? That's why I decided to just publish pictures of the mistress and talk about that. Cap and trade, illegal alien. You don't care about that. What's important is that socialized medicine has passed, socialized global warming bill, even though we're going into global cooling. And then, of course, the final cap to it all, the final nail in the coffin of America is the granting of amnesty to illegal aliens. That's the important thing, is that we become a nun nation in your lifetime. In fact, within a year, so it can be celebrated in the corridors of the Soviet Union. Maybe a monument can be built to him in Beijing. Los Angeles, KGIL Lee, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hi. It's an honor to speak with you. Oh, no, I just want to say it's an honor to speak with you, sir. Been a long time.
Hold it. Let's stop, please. Let's take a long breather. You don't have to ever say that to me. I am not Wallbanger. You don't have to tell me I'm a great American. That's for the phonies who need that kind of thing. What's on your mind?
Well, basically, you know, I'm very upset just about the decline of our country as a young man, small business owner, trying to find my place in our country.
I don't know what you're talking about. What's your question or comment?
And basically, it's a sign of protest to the liberals around me and just all the people taking down the
country. All right, in other words, you want solidarity because you live in West L.A. and you can't stand it.
The Valley, and I was thinking of buying one of these 1969 Chevy trucks that just looks like...
Oh, out of spite, in other words, a retro car.
It sounds like a dragster just going down the road. You can hear
Yeah. They're fun. They're fun. I mean, they pollute like crazy. They're horrible to bring in a garage. They stink like a... They're horrible, the old cars. I have a 65 Caddy. I hardly ever use it because if you drive it, you bring it in. I've taken it to the garage 15 times to stop the little minor oil leaks. Every time I bring it in, it still drips in the drip pan. And the stink coming out of it, you can't get it out of the garage. Well, I love the car. Don't get me wrong. I love the thick glass, and I love the thick level of the metal in it. And it's a great ride, but it's not my favorite car. I have other cars. I mean, my daily driver is not a Cadillac. It's a Mercedes. I have an S600. I'm not going to make up what I have. What, am I going to be ashamed of it? It's the best car in the world. The car I have is the best sedan in the world for a driving car. I mean, the Maybach is probably a better car if you're being driven. I prefer not to be driven. So you don't buy a car like that you're going to drive yourself and you look like a schmuck, you know, from Brooklyn driving an old Rolls Royce. A guy owned like a, you know, three delicatessens and a gold ring with extra hair on his chest. Look how I'm walking around the pit. That kind of guy from the 70s, the guy who would drive the old Porsche type with the wheels falling off. But then I have a Chevy van. which I never use, like a camper van, which I like. I love that car. The dogs love it. We used to drive to L.A. in it, but I can't drive anymore today. I hate that drive past the stockyards. I get sick every time. Moo, the whole moo thing, and it's sickening. That drive down I-5 is so depressing. From San Francisco to L.A., okay, you hit the windmills at Altamont Pass right away. You're in the mine. You want to do the mine thing? The first thing you pass is you go through Oakland and the whole thing, Jerry Brown and the degeneration of the city, the crime that they covered up because he. Then the next thing you see is Fremont. I don't know what's there. Then you go further south and you hit the Altamont Pass, windmills up in the mountains, and you think of the Rolling Stones, the Hells Angels. I mean, the next stop is like the stockyards, the organic ranch. Yeah, they're organic cows. They love to die. They die just happily because they're organically grown cows. They love to die. They jump right into the gun. They can't wait to be shot in the head and be turned into a hamburger. Then the next stop is a cherry stand with some poor broken down cherry stand and like a broken ranch. Everything looks you know, you go into rural California, it is absolutely out of a nightmare. Everywhere in rural California, it's not like New England. New England has gorgeous, like, Revolutionary Warrior, clapboard, everything perfect. You know, you get in the country, it's beautiful. Here, it's like Appalachia. You don't realize that's the hidden secret about California. Outside of a few, like, sophisticated areas, it's like Appalachia everywhere else. It's a nightmare, particularly Northern California. Rickety, broken shacks. By the way, that's the truth about Marin County. Most of the houses look like Appalachia. You drive around outside of a few neighborhoods on these windy, broken roads, and you see who the liberal, what they live in. Every night, smoking logs, breathing in pollution, and they're all for against global warming. Then after that, there's nothing. So you got to have a television in the car. You got 63 stations, and Mexican keeps jumping in something from Tijuana every minute, like a news station. And then before you know it, you're down near the flats, and you think you're in L.A. It's only another 2 hours before you hit that mountain that you got to go over. I forget the name of that. Bagel, what's the name of that mountain you got to climb up? The Grapevine. You think you're there already. It's like one of those trick trips. When you get to the bottom of the, is that the San Gabriel Range? I don't even know. I like the name, so I say San Gabriel Range. I don't even know if it's it. You get to the bottom of the range, and oh, we're almost here already. Another 90 minutes till you're in actually Hollywood, till you actually get there. Then it's kind of nice. I mean, once you get out off the freeway and you get into the traffic jams of Hollywood, it's actually fun. And I enjoy it. I like L.A., but I don't go. I fly now. I haven't been there in a year, but I have a studio down there. I don't even go to it in Area 53. Then I have another studio in Area 54 I haven't been to now in months. I killed myself to build it with an MPLS line, and it's unbelievably gorgeous, and I don't go there. See, I told you I don't like to travel. There's nothing waiting for you anywhere, wherever you go. It's the same. What do you do when you get there? Oh, great, I'm here, and I turn the computer on. There's the same story again. Obama's having a luau serving pork butt. You know what I'm saying? Another Republican was caught having an affair in Argentina, courtesy of the Homeland Security Department Investigation Bureau. How'd they get his emails? Who got the governor's emails? Now, figure if they could hack a governor's emails, you can imagine what they're doing to you. Weeks away from London comeback, paramedics spent 42 minutes trying to resuscitate him. Oh, Michael, then we got to hear this now for 3 days? The king is dead. That's why the nuclear thing, nuclear attack if provoked by USA, ship is there, we're doing nothing, luau, global warming. And we're going to hear now about Michael Jackson now. Although he was misunderstood and quite controversial, he was an amazing entertainer, a man that we will all love. On to you, Andrea. What do you know about him?
Oh, yes. I remember when I met him years ago, he was astonishing. We had him over to the house several times. He was an amazing person. He was an amazing, amazing person. Back to you, Wolf.
Junkie. Everyone around him was enabling abusive prescription drugs. No, he died of old age, Michael Jackson. Died happily in bed of old age because he was such a prize human being. Now, this is going to go on for 3 days because Obama's in such trouble that you're going to hear the Argentina and this job now for 3 days. Unbelievable. Oh, the luau we have to see tomorrow. The wonderful outfit Michelle is wearing. This woman is the worst-dressed first lady in the history of the country. Why every night a sleeveless dress? What's that all about?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content,
psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Here are the headlines on the Savage Nation. We talked about the attack on Sanford, the fools on the Hill, and the worst package designs of all time. So Obama can't get socialized medicine through the Congress, and now he's bringing out the big guns. Oh, yeah. Edie Falco? That's right. Carmela Soprano is actually lobbying Congress to pass Obamacare. She says she's passionate about health care. Listen to this actress. And wait, it gets worse. She says that though she doesn't know a thing about how to make health care happen, she trusts the president and his plans. Did you ever hear anything like this before? Go ahead and play this idiot.
It seems in a time such as this, in a country such as this, with the resources, the intelligence, the finances, that there are still people who can't afford to take care of themselves is sort of preposterous. What I'm glad about is that it's not my job to figure out how to make this happen. That, in fact, I am here just to say that this really is the time that I have really trusted President Obama and his plans, and I'm luckily able to sort of throw this at him and everybody else in the city to say how that's going to happen. But that I'm here to say that this really is the time. There's a feeling of change and opportunity for change right now in this year, and I don't think it's necessary for us to wait any longer.
Now, all this time she's being interviewed by Andrea Mitchell, the fake journalist, who's asking Edie Falco, the fake nurse, from her new TV show, the most insane questions. She even asked her what she learned about healthcare from playing the part of a sex maniac, drug-addicted nurse. Listen to this. You're not going to believe it.
In what you've had to learn about healthcare as you prepared for this role, what larger, expanded role can nurses play within the medical system?
Well, the attention to the paperwork is a huge thing. Even in our show, the amount of time we spent, you know, as an aside piece of work for a nurse to be doing is filling out papers was shocking to me. That you would think back in the day when they got into nursing, it wasn't so that they could learn how to fill these forms out. It really is just about healing people, knowing what's wrong and attending to it. A lot of it emotional and kindness. And to maybe have some of that stuff taken out of their hands would be, you know, one of many great ideas to give them the opportunity to do what they were trained to do and what they love to do.
There's nothing real anymore in American media. Fake nurse, fake journalists. Hey, Edie. Hey, Andy. You want to learn something about healthcare in America? Go down to your local emergency room and get in line behind the illegal aliens who are there to get their cold treated. Then you might learn a thing or two. 1-800. You know the number and the website. You know, I wanted to talk about something else for a minute other than about myself and my travails, which is this. I was watching TV last night. I completely lost my sex drive. I hope it's not permanent. I was watching National Geographic, and when I watched sharks mate, I never wanted to have sex again. It was so horrible. It was enough to turn me. I mean, I never saw any. Wow, you're talking about, I want to become a radical feminist. The male shark almost kills her. It's the same with camels. It's horrible. Well, anyway, so then that was bad enough, how a male shark grabs her by the gill and pushes her head into the sand. And the whole thing was crazy. It got worse with the penguins. I had heard about it with the Morgan Freeman with the penguin movie, but it was so sad I didn't even watch that movie. She lays an egg. Now she's exhausted, the female penguin, from laying the egg. It knocked her out. There's nothing left in her. She's got to go fishing again. So she passes the egg to her husband, the boy, the male penguin. And in passing the egg, one out of four of them break and the egg dies. That's bad enough. Then she has to schlep miles to the sea again to go swimming now for food. And the father stands in 40 below zero weather with the egg. He keeps it warm, hoping she comes back and makes a sound, barak, baboo. And he knows where she is, and he goes, babak, baba. And they know who they are in the middle of the penguin colony. But somehow, in the middle of all of this, the penguin colonies thrive. So I started to think that if the Obama administration, particularly Al Gore, ran the Penguin Relief Act, And the Obama administration said, you know, we really have sympathy for those penguins. Look at them. They're naked. They don't have any clothing. They don't have a car. Welfare doesn't provide them with a car. And look at that. They're on the ice. They have no heating. It's freezing over there. We got to give them a government house. Got to give them a government shelter. That handling of the egg, why should a man have to sit with an egg when he could be downloading X-rated penguin pornography, provided, of course, by the government? And so we're going to make sure that we get into the Penguin Recovery Act as soon as possible, and we're going to make sure that the government takes care of the egg, so that I'm sure that if this went on, if Obama got into the penguin breeding business, there would be no penguins left on Earth within 4 years. Because nature has a way of knowing how to survive. Governments don't know how to survive. Here you got a guy, Obama, who has never run a hot dog stand. Here you got Obama who never ran a business. Here you got a guy, Obama, who is now borrowing 50 cents for every dollar he is spending. Here is a guy who has run up the deficit four times larger than that Bush created in 08. Did you hear this? $1.8 trillion deficit for 09, four times larger than George Bush. The man is killing America as sure as he would kill a penguin colony, is how I thought about it. You see? I started the show talking about the far-left radical know-nothing Barbara Boxer. Play the clip.
It's a great moment in history here. We can transform our economy. It could help with us with foreign policy. Iran has so much...
You're listening to the know-nothing Barbara Boxer, who is boasting that she and the other leftists in the Obama administration can transform the economy. What does she mean by transform the economy? Into a Marxist state? She wants a state-run economy like in the ex-Soviet Union? What is she talking about? Yes, that's what she's talking about. Now, if she were a lifetime communist and she really believed it would be one thing. Her husband's a lawyer who makes his living by suing people who actually produce things. Her son is a lawyer who has lobbied to convert open space in Marin County to other uses. So she's a 14-carat phony, this one. They're all the same, these leftists. They speak out of both sides of their mouth. Here's a test for you. Whoever gets this right, the first caller only and wins a free copy of Psychological Nudity, because I want you to... Who can name the ship that saved the passengers, the survivors of the Titanic, after the Titanic hit an iceberg and sank on April 15th, 1912? Quickly, 60 seconds or less, name the ship that steamed over 58 miles to save the passengers who survived the sinking of the Titanic. 1-800-449-8255. You've got 60 seconds to answer that question. Okay? New York City, WOR, Joe, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Michael, good to talk to you again. Quick comment and then a question. How is it that this nation is so dumbed down by, for example, Edie Falco talking up Obama's plan today? It is mind-boggling that 90%
No, but listen to what... Wait, here's the best part. If she played Florence Nightingale, if she played a noble nurse, you would say, okay, she's an actress playing Marie Curie on a TV series, right? So I could understand it. But she plays a married woman who has sex with a pharmacist to get illicit drugs in a hospital. She's a drug addict and a sex maniac. And that's what they use as a role model to sell Obama's socialized medicine?
You know what's next? Barack Obama's going to do the moonwalk now that the King of Pop just passed away.
Oh, God. If they take the King of Pop and give him a rotunda job in the Capitol, I'm leaving the country. I'm telling you right now, if they give him a rotunda job in the nation's capital, I'm out of here. I'm going to move. I don't care where. Don't say New Zealand. I'm not moving to New Zealand. I don't know where I'm going to move. Maybe I'll buy an island and create a country. You know, King Sam. Do you realize how lucky you are that I am an honest man? Do you have any idea how honest I really am? I know you shouldn't say it if you are. Usually liars say that. But you're so lucky I'm an honest man, because if I really were devious and I really wanted power and I really wanted your money, I could buy an island and sell shares in it and make a lot of money, and I won't do it. I could do that. I mean, I could make a whole world, because many of you are desperate to get, you know, anywhere out of here. I can tap into that. Maybe Wallbanger could do it. I don't know, because he has experience with drywall. It could have a golf course so that he can invite his friend into golf, and they could sell corned beef and cabbage as a special. I'm sorry. Did someone win? No, no one. What an audience. I'm giving away a free book here. Name the ship that steamed over to save the survivors of the sinking of the Titanic. If they don't have the right, no, Amber's wrong on line 9. Hang up on her. You got to put the name of the ship they put up for me to even waste the call. Amazing. By the way, I saw the 1958 version of the Titanic sinking. It was much better than the one with the Sound of Music in it with Leon DiCaprio. That wasn't a bad production, but the first one in black and white was actually more gripping. You know, you got into the characters more. Stereotypes, yes, but touching, touching. The music, the musicians, as the ship's going down, playing on the end of the... Oh, my God. I said to Mrs. Savage, that's America right now. I know it's not necessarily a novel idea, but I wonder if many of you understand that we're all racing to the back of the nation that we are on, called America, now that we have this Marxist captain steering it so far to the left that it's liable to not hit an iceberg, but it's liable to never find its way back again to the open seas. He has now said he's extending a hand of friendship and reestablishing relations with Hugo Chavez, if you can believe this. It's hard to believe a Venezuela walks like a Marxist if it talks like a Marxist. But you don't want to believe me. I got a winner. Steve in San Fran, Sicko. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Michael.
Go ahead. Now, hold it. Now, here's the question. Can you, and get ready for the rim shot or something, because I think he's right. Please name the ship that rescued the survivors of the Titanic after she hit an iceberg and sank on 15th of April, 1912. Go ahead.
The Carpathia.
Go ahead, hit it. You win. You win a free copy of Psychological Nudity. How'd you get the answer? You knew it or you looked it up?
Awesome. No, just some trivia I had in my head.
I wonder if they could even rescue anybody today, the U.S. Navy, or they'd have to call the Admiral to ask if it's possible. I'll be right back.
Savage.
President Obama and Congress are determined to deliver European-style health care to America, and we all know what that means. Government bureaucrats calling the shots rather than you and your doctor. Under a nationalized system, health care will inevitably be rationed, with government bureaucrats choosing who gets treated and who doesn't. Think the post office or DMV, only with you and your family's health care on the line. There's something you can do to stop this. Go to freeourhealthcarenow.com, freeourhealthcarenow.com. Sign the petition. The freeourhealthcarenow.com petition calls on our elected officials to stop the government takeover of health care. Let Congress and President Obama know that you want more choices in health care, more access, and more control, not less. To say no to nationalized health care, go to freeourhealthcarenow.com, sign the petition, send it to two friends. Act now before it's too late. Go to freeourhealthcarenow.com and let your voices be heard, because the only thing you have to lose is your health. Go to freeourhealthcarenow.com, freeourhealthcarenow.com.
Call Michael now at 1-800-449-8255.
Savage.